You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So the strict interpretation of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, has faced criticism for promoting views that some consider inconsistent with modern scientific understanding and human rights. It's important to note that there are different approaches to interpreting religious texts, and not all believers adhere to a strict or a literal interpretation. How then do we interpret these particular statements that Pastor Mkandawira is going to be helping us deal with, you know, understand, and when we're having lunch, so that we may sound smart there and very, very learned. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I am good, Pastor. I hope you see, when I go to lunch today, I will be very smart. I will be a very smart person because you're going to help us with with unpacking some of these issues.
Amen.
Indeed. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, let us pray. Gracious Lord and Father, our Savior and Redeemer, we thank you for your goodness and mercies and for your renewed mercies even this morning. We ask, Lord, our Father, that you wash us from all sin and that you purify our minds and hearts. We pray also that you allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, even to instruct us as we speak from Scripture. We pray, be with us and bless us with thy presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Pastor, we're going to start off with the first statement, right, which because of interpretation, it's a lot. So we've heard of the Big Bang theory, where something like bang, and then everything came into being. We've also heard the story of evolution, where apparently we came from gorillas. And gorillas or monkeys, one of those ones there. You know, how we've evolved and we're still evolving as the human race. And then we have the issue of creation in the Bible, where we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So how then do we deal with these three theories there? Well, creation is not really a theory. How do we deal with those three issues there so that we may sound smart when we are having lunch with our friends?
All right. The first thing is to recognize what authority we are quoting. And so when we speak about the Big Bang theory or evolution, who are we really quoting? Who is instructing us? Now, you realize that both those come from man. Evolution, Charles Darwin decided to explain human existence. And in rationalizing human existence, he came up with the evolution theory. Really, it came from him. He thought this is what makes the most sense to him. But when we go to creation, it goes beyond man, because creation claims to be God's explanation for the existence of man, or the existence of the world, of life. So really, what should be foremost is, who are we quoting? Who is our authority for whichever theory we choose to advance? But when we go to Scripture, it tells us of creation. And this is how I would like us to interpret the story of creation as is in Scripture. There are different genres of writing in Scripture. And the differences require certain differences in interpretation. The story of creation is historical. It is simply history. And because it is history, it is required that we interpret that as literally as it is, as literal as the wording in Scripture is. And so, the Bible says that God created in 7 days. It is as literal as that.
Okay.
We should not rationalize and try to make sense of that and make it and assign meanings to what it must mean. It must mean exactly what it says. Because this genre of writing is to be interpreted literally as it is. It should mean to us exactly what it meant to the people that Moses wrote to the first recipients of those writings. That is what it must mean to us too, because nothing has changed, and the Bible says God does not change. And so the initial recipients understood it in a certain way, and we must try by all means to discover how to understand scripture, this story, as the initial recipients did. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we have studied different interpretations of scripture. And what makes the most logic to us is what we refer to as the historical grammatical method. This is where we analyze the grammar, the syntactical rendering of scripture, and the history behind the writing. We also take into account what was the initial audience of the writing, who the author was, the date of the writing, and all those things. So we analyze all those things so that we don't make a mistake in the interpretation of that which is before us. And so, as far as the story of creation is concerned, we should understand it as literally as it is in scripture. No hidden meanings, because there are none.
Okay. So, Pastor, you know, you spoke there about the issue of context and understanding the setting in which some of these issues were written, these texts were written, right? We do know that there are certain passages in the Old Testament that have been criticized for the treatment of women. In fact, Jay, I see Conjay in the Bible. We are not there in the Bible as women. You know, you just find us here and there. Sometimes, you know, we are not even counted and everything. So how then do we deal with that when people say, no, but why are you for the Bible? Because even women were disregarded in the Bible. So how then do we deal with that?
All right. So first thing we need to understand is that the Bible was written in a particular culture.
Okay.
And so the ancient Hebrew culture related with women in a certain way. Now, there are a few examples in the Bible that tell us the mind of the ancient Hebrew people as far as how they related with women. Let me give you a few passages of scripture.
Yes, please.
Let's begin with Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I will not read.
Let me just say what
it actually contains, what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Numbers chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, God tells Moses with Aaron to number the children of Israel. And the reason for the numbering is that they should be able, the people that should be numbered, should be able to go to war. And so they only number males from the age of 20 going up. That is repeated in Numbers chapter 26, verse 2. You only number males from the age of 20 going up. The reason is because this age, males are able to go to war. And then in Numbers chapter 33, verse 26, wives and children and livestock are classified in one cluster. In other words, women, from the time that they marry, are regarded in a different light. They are regarded as wives. If they don't marry, they are regarded as children.
Okay.
And they are clustered together with livestock, as in, it is a responsibility of every man to take care of his livestock, his children, and his wife. And so they may not be counted, but they are classed, they are regarded in a certain light. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says women are weaker vessels. And so the ancient mind of the Hebrew people regarded women as weaker vessels. That's why women are regarded in a certain light, because they're regarded as weaker vessels. Paul augments that argument when he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. There he says that Adam was formed first, then Eve. Mm-hmm. And it was Eve who was deceived by the serpent. Adam was not. Yes, they both sinned, but it was Eve who was deceived by the serpent. Adam did not get deceived by the serpent. He was tempted to sin by the wife and not deceived by the serpent. So because of that, the Hebrews regard women in a particular light. And that is why they are not spoken of so much in scripture. However, with the coming of Jesus Christ and dying on the cross, what he has done is that he has redeemed all of humanity. Okay. And so Paul tells us that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, female or male any longer. We are all heirs of the glorious life that Jesus has prepared for us. And so at this point, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all joined heirs together, both male and female. And so the fact that the Old Testament people regarded women in a particular light simply speaks to their culture as a people. When Jesus Christ comes, he comes to do away with that mindset, and now he tells us that we are joint heirs. Whether a weaker vessel or not, we are joint heirs for in the blood of Jesus Christ for the salvation that he has to offer to man.
So, Pastor, whilst we are there, I think most of the issues that some people might have are from the Old Testament, right? But before we go there, I see we have a text. Let me see if it's related to this. Yes, it is. It is related to this. So the listener is saying, what of the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew 14, verse 21, what war was being fought such that only men were counted because they were just eating? They were just eating.
That's a beautiful question. So when they counted the people that were fed, actually those there were two incidences. First 5,000 and then second the 4,000. In both scenarios, only men were counted. Now, the reason for that is simply because Jesus was still dealing with the mindset of the Hebrew people who regarded women in a particular light.
Okay.
So he was still dealing with the same people who regarded women the same way. And that is why it is later on when Paul then says, now we are joint heirs. It doesn't matter now that one is female or male. We are the same in the sight of God. But back he was feeding them. They only count men, not even children. They just count men. This time they don't tell us at what age. They just say men. They exclude children and women simply because they regard women and children in the same light as their brethren in the Old Testament did.
All right. So, Pastor, this one, a yes or no answer, ne? Because I want to lead to the next one. Are we all equal as human beings before God?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to lead it to somewhere else. So, Pastor, the Bible, right, contains verses that have been used to argue against the LGBTQ plus I people's rights. And you are saying that we are all equal against God. So why then would we have scriptures that are used against a certain particular, should I say community? I don't know how to refer. Community or society, you know, because we do know, as you've clarified the issue of women now, but then now when it comes to this one, why do we use scripture to go against their rights? We know that in certain countries, yes, it's totally banished, they frown upon that particular society. But we do know that some, in fact, have actually even legalized their marriages. They've legalized everything. In fact, when you commit a crime against them, it's worse. Mm-hmm. So why do we have scriptures, or why do we use certain scriptures, in fact, to further segregate them or harm them?
All right. If you don't mind, allow me to read these particular scriptures.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Now we are reading.
I want to use the word of God to answer that question.
Okay.
Now, before I read, let me say this. The Bible is a very honest book.
Mm.
It does not conceal the sinful nature of man.
Mm.
I mean, after man fell from the grace of God in sin, the Bible has not hidden anything that is in the nature of man. The sinful state of man is revealed in Scripture, even when it concerns the children of God. All their sins are plain in Scripture for us to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in contrast to the holiness of God.
Mm.
So that said, let me read this. Let's begin. There are just a few portions. Let's begin with Leviticus chapter 18 and 20. And then we'll go to the New Testament.
Okay.
So Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and then we'll skip to 20. And we'll read verse 13 and verse 15. So Leviticus 18, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Bible says. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman.
Mm.
It is an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is God speaking to Moses to tell the children of Israel.
Mm.
Now, guess who's being addressed?
Okay.
Male.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I got to know where. Okay, continue for this. I won't add anything on this one.
So, once again, verse 22 of chapter 18 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman, because it is an abomination." And then chapter 20, verse 13 repeats the same thing.
Mm.
Now, this time there is added meat. So, this is what the Bible says. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination.
Okay.
They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
Mm.
That is what God says. Now, let's pause for a minute. God is saying he is holy and he expects his chosen people to act holy.
Okay.
And because of this, one of the acts that God sees as an abomination is the idea of lying or sleeping with people of the same sex. Mm. It is an abomination in his sight. And so he says, you shall not do it.
Mm.
Then verse 15 of chapter 20, this is what the Bible says.
Mm.
If a man mates with an animal, he shall be put to death. You shall kill the animal also. And so, if God forbids the idea of sleeping, having sex with an animal, and with a person of the same sex, and he equates those things, then those things are equally an abomination in the sight of God.
Mm.
Now, let me just pause there for a minute. Before we go to the New Testament, let's go back to the book. Genesis chapter 19.
Okay.
Now, you know the story that is contained therein. This is a story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Hey, knew you were going to go there. Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to. Let me read verse 5 through to 7. This is what the Bible says. Verse 5. And they all called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight?
Mm.
Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally."
Mm.
Verse 6. So Lot went out to them through the door, through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." And so, in Lot's eyes, this act they are proposing is a wicked act. Now, this is way before God tells us of that law, that commandment in Leviticus. At this point, the children of Israel do not exist. And then Lord says this is a wicked thing to do, because these brothers are proposing to sleep with the angels who had come to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Bible has always seen the act of sleeping, lying with people of the same sex as an abomination since creation began. Now, this is what Paul says, Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, I will read verse 27 and 28. So, let me begin from verse 25. Let me begin from verse 24. I'll read very quickly. Verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Verse 26. "So for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature." Then verse 27, "Likewise also men having the natural use, leaving the natural use of women, bend in their lust for one another, men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due." This is what scripture says. So whether it is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, God still has the same mind. He still frowns upon relations of the same sex, and he still calls them an abomination. And that is why Christians use these portions of scripture to speak against gay rights or the LGBT community. This is because God frowns upon such relations.
Okay, Mfundis. This one, it needs a longer time. I won't interrogate now. there are a lot of things, you know, that we need to discuss, but to our pastor, I will text you on the side. So as we wrap up, Mfundis, throughout all of this, like they are not, I know we had like three issues that we did not touch on, but because of time, through all of these things, you know, we interpret the Bible differently. You might interpret it differently, I might interpret it differently, and another person. But overall, what should be the general consensus, if I can call it that, you know, that we should all come up with whenever we are reading scripture and trying to interpret it? Because obviously we won't have the same revelation, but generally, what should be the one thing that we all agree on as we are reading the Bible?
The one thing we should agree on is its own meaning.
Okay.
What the author intended to communicate to his original recipients, that meaning is what we should see when we read scripture, even today. And so we should not read into scripture what we think it means, but we should read from scripture. We should derive from it what was originally intended. And it is very simple to arrive at such a meaning. All we do is let scripture speak. That's all. And you will be better equipped to interpret it when you understand the genre that you are dealing with. Scripture is its own interpreter. It will help you throughout scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it will help you interpret whichever part of the Bible you are reading. And so let's not bring in meaning into scripture. Let's derive from it what it actually means. And when we all do that, we will find ourselves all agreeing that it actually means this, because we are not reading into it, we are reading from it. When we approach scripture that way, all the differences that we have will all fade away, because we'll come to the same conclusion, because there's only one meaning that the Bible has, and we will all see it if we approach it the same way. Let's not read into it. Let's read what it actually means.
Pastor, please pray for us so that as we get the meanings from the Bible there, you know, we may really get the correct meanings and not try, you know, to muddy our own brains with all the other things that are happening there. Please pray for us, Pastor.
Indeed. Let us pray. Our Lord and Father, gracious Lord, we thank you that you have spoken to us through your word this morning. We are thankful, Lord, that you allowed us time and chance to sit at your feet to listen to your word speak. We ask, dear Father, that you allow us the spirit of humility, that we may humble ourselves each time we interact with your word. We pray, O Lord, that you allow your Holy Spirit, he who inspired holy men to write these instructions, let him dwell in our hearts, that even as we sit to read your word, my Father, you may give us the spirit of truth, because your Son Jesus said that he will bring us into all truth. And so we pray, my Father and my Lord, allow him to dwell in our hearts. And so wash away every form of evil or unrighteousness from us, that we may be cleansed for the dwelling of your Holy Spirit. And that as we read your word, my Father, you may help us discern that which was spiritually given, because we need a spiritual mind, a humble mind, to discern spiritual things. So we ask, Lord, for your presence, guide us through and through, because we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen, Pastor Mkandawira. I don't know why I say your name like that. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. Have yourself a lovely day.
Thank you. Lovely day to you too. Thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.